All right, everybody, let's get locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Sunday edition of the show. Welcome in. If you've missed any of our past podcasts, you can always check them out on any podcast platform, as well as LockedOnEagles.com. And hey, if you're in the car and you want to listen to Locked On Eagles, just tell your smart device to play the Locked On Eagles podcast, and we'll be up there. And to your 25, 30-minute commute, you'll be able to listen to our podcast, get to wherever you're going, and hopefully gain some more knowledge on the Philadelphia Eagles as we started some interesting segments this past couple weeks. We got our Locked On the Mock, which is coming back this week. Round three this time. We have a third full mock draft. We do it every single week. Me and Gino, we're going to go through a seven-round mock draft for the Eagles up until draft time. And we also started our off-season options edition of the show. And that we started running back last week, and we also started wide receiver. So we did those two positions, talked about what are some of the best options for the Eagles at those two positions when it comes to high-end free agents, high-end draft picks, and then the value guys, you know, the more underrated free agent signings that aren't going to cost you maybe as much with the Eagles. Depending on what their money situation is, they might not want to go all in on a big-name running back or a big-name, you know, wide receiver, i.e. Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. And also, who are some of the gems they could find maybe later in the draft? Who could be the next Corey Clement, right? The next, even though Josh Adams kind of, you know, tailored off at the end, he really gave you a lot of efficiency in the middle of the season, despite being an undrafted rookie. So we got into that for running backs and receivers. We're going to continue that segment as well this week. But hey, we got the NFL Combine in 2 days, so we have our preview show tomorrow. So some exciting stuff happening on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As for today, we're getting into comp picks and Kelly Green. Those are the two biggest topics of news when it comes to the Eagles lately, which kind of shows you that, you know, we're in the dead period right now of the offseason for two more days. We have the Combine coming up. Excited about that. Really excited to see how some of these, this historic defensive line class tests out some of these running backs that maybe aren't great when it comes to long speed, but there's still a lot of explosion in that class. Wide receiver, offensive line, the Eagles could be looking for. So the Combine starts in Indianapolis on NFL Network on the 26th. So Tuesday we started up. So excited to get that going. Finally, something to actually talk about of substance. I love speculating, but it'll be cool to really get this whole process of the offseason going, starting with the Combine and then free agency, which begins March 13th. But yeah, today the Eagles received two compensatory picks this week, and Kelly Green jerseys was the talk once again. I feel like Kelly Green, the topic of Kelly Green jerseys and the return of Kelly Green jerseys has seemingly came back into the, you know, conversation of Eagles talk for the past 3 years, ever since Jeffrey Lurie was rumored to be trying to push the NFL to change their rule to allow the Eagles to have a second helmet and bring back Kelly Green in some, you know, shape or form. Whether, while it might not be the main jerseys, it could be an alternate, it could be something they wear on occasion, maybe for just Thursday night football, or I don't know, Thanksgiving, Saturday night football. So we're going to get into that in the third segment. Do you want it back? If you do want it back, in what fashion? Do you want it as an alternate? Do you want it to take over Midnight Green? Why is the NFL not allowing the Eagles and another NFL teams to do this? We'll get into that in the third segment. But for now, I want to get into these compensatory picks the Eagles received. They received two picks, a fourth rounder, which is 38th overall, from the Trey Burton move going to Chicago. So Trey Burton signing with the Bears last offseason got the Eagles a fourth round pick this year. And Patrick Robinson went to the New Orleans Saints last offseason, and that got the Eagles a sixth-round pick. So now the Eagles are looking at a first-rounder, 2 seconds, no third-round pick. They moved their third to the Lions for Golden Tate. They have 2 fourth-round picks, a fifth, 2 sixths, and 1 seventh. So the Eagles have a lot of picks, and they almost had a third compensatory pick. I thought this was awesome. Let me just read something for you from overthecap.com, our good buddies, you know, Zach Moore over there, who's going to join the show in a couple of weeks with our, you know, cap special that we do every single year. Let me just read you what Howie Roseman, who's always trying to find the different angles, always trying that sly trickery, trying to gain more picks out of this new system, which is compensatory draft picks. So let me just read you. It has to do with Howie Roseman trying to get a comp pick out of the Mike Wallace signing this year. Eagles GM Howie Roseman used a variety of techniques to try to get Wallace to not qualify as a compensatory free agent. Had he succeeded, Philadelphia would have received another sixth-round pick instead of one. However, the NFL Management Council instead counted one of either his $1 million other amount treated as signing bonus or his easy-to-achieve $585,000 weight bonus of staying under 250 pounds, and for a slim, fast receiver like Mike Wallace, wouldn't have been that hard. So the Eagles trying to do different things, trying to pay Mike Wallace in these different ways to try to get him to be a comp free agent. Well, not qualify as a comp free agent so that they would get a pick next year. So, or this year. And it's really crazy, but Howie Roseman always trying to get more picks. And, you know, that's why it was more flexible. He was more willing to deal a third-round pick for a Golden Tate because of the new comp pick formula. So while they didn't get another sixth-round pick, they do have one coming in from the comp formula, and they also have a fourth-rounder. So the Eagles now are looking at six picks in the first four rounds. The last time they had five-plus, 2017, 2012, and 2010. Let's just compare it to last year. One of the reasons they have six picks this year is they got an extra second-round pick last year by moving out of pick 32. The Ravens move up, and they get Lamar Jackson. The Eagles take Dallas Goedert in the second round and get this extra second this year. But they only had three picks last year in the first four rounds. They had Dallas Goedert in the second round, Avante Maddox out of Pitt in the fourth, and then they took Josh Sweat as well in the fourth round out of Florida State. So they have three more picks now to rejuvenize this roster with fresh, young, and dare I say, well, not dare I say, because it's, you know, with the new system after the CBA in 2011, rookies really don't make all that much money now. So you're getting young, fresh, cheap talent, and you have six opportunities in the first four rounds to do it. Two extra picks, really great opportunity for the Eagles this year. And yeah, again, the last time they've had five plus, I went back just to see, when the last time the Eagles had an abundance of draft picks, how do they do in these classes? And we go back to 2017, 2012, and 2010. 2017 has kind of been a mixed bag when it comes to the success of that draft class. They took Derek Barnett, 14th overall. They took Sidney Jones in the second round, Rasul Douglas in the third. They got Matt Collins and Donnell Pumphrey in the fourth round, Shelton Gibson and Nathan Geary in the fifth, and in the sixth round, they got Elijah Qualls. So, you know, five picks, they actually, to me, did pretty good in that class. I really like that draft class, maybe more so than others, because I think some people believe that Rasul Douglas is going to be very limited throughout his career. And I don't know. Look, he had a great end of the season, and you guys all know how I feel about Rasul Douglas. But he kind of got into that Jalen Mills territory of people just going after him because he would get beat deep and he was having a rough patch when he took over for Ronald Darby after that Cowboys game when Darby tore his ACL. So I think some people don't ever view Rasul Douglas as a long-term piece in the secondary, while I do. I think what you saw down the stretch last year is what you're going to get from Rasul Douglas in your career, a big-time tackler at the cornerback position, a guy that has a nose for turnovers, great at getting interceptions, while he is limited physically, athletically. You know, he's not a guy like Avante Maddox or Sidney Jones that can just flip the switch, has great speed, you know, the hip flexing, just all of this athleticism at corner. He's not that kind of player, but to me, there's a lot of pros to his game that I think is going to make him a long-term starter, and that's just me. I've been big on Douglas, and I think that was a great third-round pick. And Derek Barnett, while he's kind of been a mixed bag the first 2 years as well, I thought he had a pretty strong start to this season in his second year. And look, last year, he was a rotational defensive end with Chris Long, Vinny Curry, and Brandon Graham, but he made some of the biggest plays in Eagles history, right? With the strip sack of Case Keenum in the NFC Championship game. He recovered the fumble in the Super Bowl as Brandon Graham hit Tom Brady and the football out of his hands. Barnett jumps on that. Barnett was great against the run. He is someone, to me, that is going to be a staple of this Eagles defense for a long time. So that's two of your first three picks on defense that has core pieces intact. And I think Sidney Jones is going to be that as well in the second round. I know there's concern about his injuries. Then there should be. These are soft tissue problems. It's not like, see, the Carson Wentz injury prone take to me is misguided and it's not accurate and it's not warranted to really make that claim on Wentz. Whereas Sidney Jones, we're getting to that level. If he goes into his third year and he can't stay healthy, and he can't crack the lineup because of all the depth at corner, and he just cannot stay healthy enough to show the talent that made him what was going to be a 15th overall pick at least or below, you know, or higher in the 2017 draft before he tore his Achilles, at Washington coming out during, I think it was his pro day, and Sidney Jones tears his Achilles, and he falls to the Eagles in the second round, but nonetheless, the talent has always been there, and I still believe Sidney Jones is the most talented corner this Eagles team has, and he still, to me, has the best potential of being the CB1. So you look at those first three picks, if Sidney Jones pans out, if he shows the flashes consistently that he did at the start of last year when he was the starting slot corner, I think 2017 was a strong class. I know Matt Collins didn't play all of last year, but even for a fourth-round pick, they got good special teams play out of him and a couple big plays on offense in his rookie season. Pumphrey was a terrible pick, so was Shelton Gibson. But, hey, even Nathan Jerry this year was a rotational linebacker, so I thought 2017 was pretty solid. And then we go back to 2012 when they had a lot of picks. They had Fletcher Cox in the first round. I don't think I even need to say a whole lot about how that pick did. The Eagles moved up to get Fletcher Cox. Thank God the Chiefs took Dontari Poe. That's still one of the bigger mistakes nobody talks about in the draft. And then they got Michael Kendricks and Vinnie Curry in the second round. Two starters. Well, Vinnie Curry rotated, but, you know, two staples of the defense last year for the Super Bowl team. Two staples of the defense for a long time from 2012 up until 2018. Nick Foles in the third round, Mr. Super Bowl MVP. Brandon Boykin in the fourth round was one of the best slot corners in football for a couple years when he was starting for the Eagles in 2013 and 2014. And then even, hey, let's go to Bryce Brown in the seventh round. While he's not in the league anymore, they got some good contributions out of him for 2 years. So 2017 and 2012, when the Eagles had 5+ draft picks, I actually thought they had pretty good success. 2010, interesting. They had a lot of picks here as well. Brandon Graham in the first round, obviously an incredible pick, one of the best defensive players in Eagles history. Nate Allen and Daniel Teo-Nessheim in the second and third round. Travard Lindley in the fourth. Keenan Clayton. Okay, so they butchered the fourth round. They had 4 picks in the fourth round, right? They had 7 picks total in the first 4 rounds. So this year they have 6. They had an extra pick in that 2010 class. In the fourth round, they went Travard Lindley. Remember that corner out of Kentucky? I was higher on than most people probably. Keenan Clayton, that linebacker that rotated with Jamar Chaney and Brian Roll. Mike Kafka in the fourth round. Clay Harbor, Mr. Bachelor himself, or he was a contestant on The Bachelorette, I think. So that's what he's done for his career. So the fourth round was terrible. And the first 2 rounds, the first 3 rounds weren't great either. Nate Allen and Daniel Teo-Nessheim in the second and third round was pretty brutal. So they only hit on Brandon Graham in the first 4 rounds. But then you go later on in the draft, Riley Cooper in the 5th round, Kurt Coleman and Jamar Chaney in the 7th. You had both guys there contribute as starters on defense. So while 2010 wasn't nearly as good as 2012 and 2017, the Eagles, the past couple times they've had a lot of picks, have made the most of it. And I trust Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas much more than I trusted that front office with, you know, the first version of Howie Roseman and Andy Reid picking guys like Danny Watkins in the 2011 draft and Jaquan Jarrett and Curtis Marsh and Casey Matthews, or Chip Kelly taking, you know, Marcus Smith or Eric Rowe or Ja'Cory Shepherd, right? This is a front office now that I think we can put a lot more confidence in nailing at least, I would say, you know, 4 of these 6 picks in the first 4 rounds. So the Eagles have a lot of ammo this year, and it helps that these 2 compensatory picks come their way. So without those, you would have only had, you know, 4 picks in the first 4 rounds, a pick every round except for the third. You'd have an additional second instead, but you get an extra 4th, and look what they got in the 4th round last year out of Avante Maddox. Avante Maddox was one of the main reasons the Eagles made the playoffs last year. He was a key staple in that defense turning it around late last year when they moved him to the outside at corner. He played safety, slot corner. That's a 4th round pick. So now the Eagles have 2 cracks at it again this year, like they did last year, taking Avante Maddox and Josh Sweat, who we still haven't really found out what he can be. Very raw prospect, but we'll see what he does in the summer of his second year. So the Eagles with 6 picks, they have plenty of room to continue to build this team and to try to transfer this window over when this main core goes away. They have another core coming up with Carson Wentz to continue to stay relevant and stay in title contention for not just a couple years like a team like Seattle did, right? This is about the longevity. This is about hoping to build not a team that could that's going to be a dynasty, but hoping that you have that dynastic potential of being in it, being an NFL force, one of the best teams in the league for hopefully a decade, with as long as Carson Wentz is in Midnight Green. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, I want to get to just that. I want to talk about this window that some people think maybe is shorter, is closing on the Eagles, and some people think it's wide open. I want to kind of get into that next, kind of bring in these six picks and talk about how long the Eagles can be powerhouses in the NFL and specifically in the NFC Conference. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, segment one done. Segment two officially underway as we start the next week of Locked On Eagles, February 24th. Welcome into the Sunday edition of the podcast. So, yeah, the Eagles with six draft picks now in the first four rounds this year is pretty awesome. It gives Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, let's just keep milking draft classes out of Joe Douglas. I'm waiting for him to get a GM job, and just hasn't happened yet in 3 years, but he's done a tremendous job with helping Howie Roseman, who, while I don't think he's just a salary cap guy like Chip Kelly used to say, his strength isn't player personnel. It isn't, you know, evaluating talent, if you ask me. I shouldn't say player personnel because he makes great trades. I think he has nailed some great free agent signings. You know, the Eagles have killed free agency the past couple years, really since 2014, which I know Chip Kelly had a lot to do with. But Malcolm Jenkins, I give that credit, that signing, to Howie Roseman instead of going with a guy like Jarius Byrd. So Howie Roseman, you know, he does have the ability to evaluate talent, but I think the main guy for that is Joe Douglas. And he hasn't got a GM job yet, and they're going to have him for this draft class once again. So just keep milking these draft classes out of Joe Douglas, and they got six to add to the core. And some people say that they should go all in on a guy like Antonio Brown, right? Because the Eagles window, you know, you see teams be in the race for a couple years and they're done, right? You saw Seattle. You thought Seattle was the next dynasty. How many times do you think there's another dynasties coming up and salary cap, players moving on, age, all of this different stuff that factors into you building a roster kind of gets in the way of a team and you're kind of thinking what could have been, right? Not even just in football, but if you're an NBA fan, the Oklahoma City Thunder, if you will, with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant. To me, the Eagles window is a lot wider than some media members give it credit for. This is not a team that should be going all in to just win next year. I think this Eagles team is going to compete for Super Bowls the next couple of years, and I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL next year, don't get me wrong. But that's even without having to do anything drastic to the roster. They have a core right now in place that has prime players at prime positions, and I don't think they're going away anytime soon, and you add six picks on top of that to kind of replace some of the free agents you're going to lose. Maybe you lose a Brandon Graham. Maybe you lose, you know, a Jordan Hicks or, you know, Ronald Darby. I think they already have the replacements for Jay Ajayi, but you can replace a Brandon Graham and a Jordan Hicks and free agents next year. Maybe who knows what you do with Tim Jernigan and Jason Peters, but the majority of this core is intact for at least the next few seasons. You're going to get another 2 to 3 more seasons out of the main players in the prime of their careers that are really the staples of this team, right? Let's talk about the most important players of the franchise. Let's go on offense. Carson Wentz, of course. Quarterback matters most. As long as you have Carson Wentz, to me, the Eagles are always going to have a chance. Then you look at right tackle, Lane Johnson, one of the best tackles in football. He's in his prime right now. He's going to be with his team for a long time still. Brandon Brooks as well, still at the height of his powers. Hopefully he can come back after that torn Achilles against the Saints in the playoffs and get back to being the best guard in football, which is what he's been the past couple years, regardless of what Cowboys fans tell you about Zach Martin. How about the pass catchers, right? Alshon Jeffrey locked up long term. Nelson Agholor, to me, is going to get a contract extension, so you're going to have your two top pass catchers at wide receiver. Your tight end, Zach Ertz, is getting up there. He's getting on the verge of 30, but look at what they did, just like what they did when they had Brent Celek and they drafted Zach Ertz. They bring in Zach Ertz, and now they have Dallas Goedert to complement him and eventually take over. So you have two amazing tight ends, two great receivers for Carson Wentz for the foreseeable future. You flip it to defense, you got at least two of your pass rushers long-term, Fletcher Cox, who is the, outside of Aaron Donald, the best interior pass rusher in the NFL. And you have Derek Barnett, who, again, some people not as high on him as I am, but I've really liked what I've seen from Barnett. He kind of reminds me of Brandon Graham. While he hasn't made the flashy, crazy plays early on in his career, he hasn't gone crazy when it comes to the sack totals. Although last year his season was cut short, so you didn't really get to see him in a full 16-game season in his second year. But I saw that leap from year one to year two for Derek Barnett. I thought he was their most efficient pass rusher at the start of the season, right? I think Brandon Graham started off really slow. I should say Michael Bennett probably, but Barnett right there with him was incredible getting to the quarterback. He made the biggest play of the game against the Colts in that game, in that third game, to stop the Colts in the red zone to get after Andrew Luck. And he grew tremendously against the run. He was great against the run in his first year and got even better at it in his second year. So you have Barnett and Cox up front. You have your best linebacker and Nigel Bradham locked up. Your safeties, at least for another year or two, are good to go with Malcolm Jenkins, who, you know, he's on the other side of 30, but it doesn't look like he's slowing down. And Roddy McLeod, at least for one more year. And then, hey, your cornerback group, you just have a bunch of guys on rookie deals that have shown a lot of potential in a Rasul Douglas, in a Avante Maddox, Jalen Mills, Cravion LeBlanc, right? These are all players that Sidney Jones, who I'm still really high on to potentially be your CB1. You have the majority of your core at the most important positions locked up when it comes to offensive linemen, pass rushers, of course, quarterback, receivers, and your secondary. So I think this Eagles team is not going to be a team that in a couple years is suddenly going to be rebuilding once again. Nothing other than running back, to me, is in dire need for next season. They have six picks to eventually replace Jason Peters, Malcolm Jenkins and McLeod, Michael Bennett and Brandon Graham. So you can replace all these guys that you might need to eventually replace next year or the year later. And maybe it's this year. Maybe you don't have JP this year. Maybe you don't have Brandon Graham. But there's nothing other than running back, I would say, that's going to be holding you back next year. And even running back doesn't really hold you back because the Eagles made it to the second round this year with Josh Adams leading the way with 511 rushing yards. So, and look what they did last year with a, you know, look what this core did without those surrounding pieces, right? You saw all the injuries that happened to this team. Tim Jernigan, Roddy McLeod, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Jordan Hicks was hurt for a lot of the middle of the season, for the majority of the season. Carson Wentz, right? Jason Peters going in and out of the lineup. This happened. All of this broke down around this core, and they still nearly made it to the NFC Championship game. So you add six draft picks now to get even deeper? Next year's team is going to be way more talented even than the 2018 team that I was picking to get all the way to the NFC Championship and maybe try to repeat as Super Bowl champions, and they were damn close. And now you have six picks to complement this core, and eventually a lot of these young players will become that core with Carson Wentz and a lot of these players. I don't think this Eagles team's window is closing. I don't know about you. I don't think they should feel desperate at all. You always should be trying to compete for championships, but not just 1 year. This is a long-term thing. The Eagles want sustainability, and that's what I like is that, and Gino talks about it all the time, you're bringing in needs that you're going to have down the road. It's not just this year, because there aren't a lot of needs that the Eagles have for the 2019 season. Even when we talk about, well, they need a burner, right? They need a running back, eventually a left tackle for Jason Peters, eventually a defensive tackle to go with Fletcher Cox. But if you restructure Tim Jernigan, even that's not a crazy need right now with how Trayvon Hester came around at the end of the season. So it's really encouraging to see all the ammo they have with the core they still have intact. This is not a team that in 2 years is going to be a 4-12 team that suddenly you're like, well, you have Carson Wentz and nothing else. I think this team is going to be playing for championships for a long time. And, you know, those six picks this year just add to that window. I think it's wide open, if you ask me. Coming up next in the Lockdown Eagles podcast, let's get to our Kelly Green talk now, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get into why I think the NFL is whiffing on a marketing goldmine, and I want to get into what you think about the Eagles bringing back Kelly Green jerseys and what fashion do you think they should bring them back. That's coming up next, right here on Lockdown Eagles. All right, everybody, let's get into it. This is I enjoy talking about this topic. I'm big into jerseys. I've collected jerseys throughout my young sports, you know, fandom. I'm into the retros. I like a lot of the new stuff. I'm one of the few people that really like the Tennessee Titan jerseys. And, you know, while the old Jaguar jerseys, the melted Rolo helmet and the crazy collage that was, or even the Buccaneers jerseys right now, I'm not, you know, someone that loves the Yankees jerseys or the Giants, the classic stuff, the the stuff that's not really overly creative. I kind of like the flashy stuff, and I like the bright colors, and I think there's an interesting split in this Eagles fan base when it comes to Kelly Green jerseys, right? I think when they brought it back in 2010 for that first game against Green Bay, I think that was the sharpest the Eagles have looked probably ever. Those jerseys, to me, were the nicest I have ever seen. And they clearly agree. The franchise clearly agrees, because Jeffrey Lurie has been trying to get the NFL to change their rule on how many helmets a team can wear so that they can bring in Kelly Green jerseys into the mix. Because you can't have it where if you can only wear one helmet and it has to be midnight green, you're not going to have a midnight green helmet with a Kelly Green jersey. Just go look it up on Google. People have done like Photoshop images of what that would look like, and it looks absolutely terrible. While I think everyone agrees they want Kelly Green back in some fashion, right? That was the colors of the Eagles for, I mean, their 1960 championship, their Super Bowl in 1980. You know, you think of Randall, like all the retro jerseys, right? Reggie White, Randall Cunningham, all in Kelly Green. Ron Jaworski, Chris Carter, you know, the list goes on and on, right? Eric Allen, Seth Joyner. There's all these legends that you're just, when you think of them, you see Kelly Green. And I think the Eagles, it would be great for their history to bring that back, because it was their colors for so long. Midnight Green has only been the colors for 20 years or of this franchise's history, 20 to 25 years. The late 90s is when they brought it in. And it's interesting to see what people think about it, because I think everybody wants it back, but I don't think everybody wants it back in the same role. So I put up a poll on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE, to see what you guys thought of what kind of role you would want Kelly Green to play in the Eagles jersey collection if they were to bring it back. So there were three options. You can make it the main alternate and get rid of black, or not get rid of black, because again, I'm a guy that likes the Oregon Ducks using 100 different jersey combinations, right? I'm good with that. But you use it as the main alternate that you wear a couple times a year. Or you make it the main jerseys. You take it over, you take over Midnight Green, you go back to Kelly Green full time. Or you make it the occasional jersey, right? Maybe you wear it once a year. Maybe you wear it when you play on Thanksgiving this year, if the Eagles play Minnesota on Thanksgiving. Or you wear it on Saturday Night Football, that one time a year that happens with the NFL. Or on Monday Night games. Or, you know, you just celebrate anniversaries with it. But you at least have it back in your arsenal. So I wanted to see what fans prefer out of those three options. 47% actually said occasional. And I'm surprised by that, because I thought Kelly Green was more popular in the Eagles fan base. But one thing I will credit this to is the Eagles winning a Super Bowl in Midnight Green. I think the minute, and look, I don't want Kelly Green. If I had to put my vote in this poll, I would make it the main alternates over black. Because I grew up, I'm a younger Eagles fan, I grew up with Midnight Green. Like, Midnight Green to me is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think it's really, you know, the heart, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder. And I don't know, I've noticed for me at least that when one jersey isn't worn anymore, I'm longing for that jersey. I'm like, oh, it'd be great to bring those back. And I feel like it's kind of same here with this Kelly Green and Midnight dynamic. If Midnight Green went away, in 10 years we'd all be like, oh man, we got to bring back Midnight Green. So I want Midnight Green to be the main jerseys. I grew up with it. They won a championship in those jerseys. It's really who they are now. The parade, the confetti, was all Midnight Green. I would vote for the Eagles to make it the main alternate over black. 29% of you agree with that, saying main alternates over black. 24% of you wanted to take over Midnight Green in general. So not that many people, 76% of you out there still want Midnight Green to be the main jerseys. And I'm with you there. I'm more with the 29% here that want it to be the main alternates over black. Black jerseys are pretty popular, but I don't know. With the Eagles black jerseys, I like black on black. Black on green, they haven't worn all that much. They did it in the early 2000s. Not a fan of that one. I think black on white is okay. It looks pretty good, but nothing looks, you know, alternates-wise. The Eagles, those Kelly Green jerseys they wore week one in 2010 were the sharpest jerseys I've seen in the NFL. And again, I don't want to get rid of Midnight Green. I want them to still be the main jerseys because that's what I see the Philadelphia Eagles in. But those Kelly Green jerseys would be the greatest alternate jerseys in NFL history. And really, the players want him back too. Alshon Jeffrey, 2 years straight now, has been calling back for Kelly Green jerseys. So the players want it back. Jeffrey Lurie wants it back. I think it's only a matter of time before the NFL actually allows the Eagles to wear a Kelly Green jersey and a helmet, and they allow NFL teams to do this. But how this needs to happen is that the NFL needs to change their one helmet rule policy. So this one helmet rule is a policy that the NFL has had for a bit. It hasn't been that long, because in 2010, the Eagles wore their Kelly Green jerseys with a Kelly Green helmet. But there is now a new rule where you can, and I think it was after the CBA, that 2011 CBA, that this rule kicked in, you cannot wear more than one helmet. A player is fitted for one helmet at the start of the season, and that's it. So you can change the decal on the helmet. That's why the Rams are able to wear their, you know, royal blue and gold jerseys, because they just put a gold Ram gold Ram sticker on the helmet instead of the white ones. So you can change the sticker, but you can't change the helmet in general. So their helmets, if you notice, are still navy blue. They're not royal blue. So the Eagles could change the wing on the helmet. They could put the Eagles logo, which would look really weird, but they can't change the midnight green color without going permanently to Kelly Green. Like, they can go to Kelly Green this year, but you can say bye to midnight green. They need to change it where the NFL allows you to have two helmets. So then you can have a midnight green helmet and a Kelly Green helmet. Or else, again, it's going to look really stupid. And truthfully, I again think the NFL is whiffing on a marketing goldmine. This is a league that loves money, right? It's the biggest priority. It's a business. The owners love money. They love it more than anything else. Can you imagine the amount of money the NFL would make on jersey sales of Carson Wentz Kelly Green jerseys, of Alshon Jeffrey Kelly Green jerseys, of Fletcher Cox, bringing back all the throwbacks, right? And how about other teams, too? Just look at other teams. Like, let's go to the Buffalo Bills and their 1990s jerseys, or the Houston Oilers, although I don't know who would wear between the Titans and the Texans. The Titans have the rights to it, I believe, so they would get to wear it, though. Those Houston Oilers jerseys are beautiful. Even the gross, ones of the Packers, old, disgusting-looking jerseys, the New York Titans for the Jets. Remember, the Jets used to wear those New York Titans jerseys. Maybe the Niners want to wear, although they have their, you know, vintage jerseys already, maybe they want to wear the Steve Young jerseys of the mid-90s. You know, there's the Denver Broncos can fully go to that royal blue helmet with the Bronco inside the D, right? Because right now they use that, but the helmet has to stay navy blue. It's a dumb rule. I mean, why can't you just fit one player? When you fit the player for a helmet, just do it again. Just bring in another helmet and fit them again. You're a multi-billion dollar industry. You can't fit a player for two helmets. It's such a mismanagement of a goldmine market when it comes to revenue. I mean, talk about Thursday Night Football, like how they're trying to brand it, and they did the whole color rush thing. Do that with throwback jerseys. Make it TNF, Throwback Night Football. Right? I mean, that would be amazing. The Eagles wearing the Kelly Green jerseys, the Giants wearing those old school jerseys they wear with the NY. It would be incredible. The Vikings wearing their old school jerseys. Who else has got some really good retros? The Atlanta Falcons, right? You can wear those old red helmets. There's so many opportunities here in the NFL, and they just, I think the Eagles had to retract the proposal a couple years ago at the league meetings, because they just didn't have enough support for it. And I don't understand it. Let's go to a fan of the show tweeted in when I was discussing this on Twitter, and they said it's not like players that are traded have to wear the same jersey, the same helmet of the other team, right? They get fitted so Golden Tate isn't wearing a Lions helmet when he comes to Philadelphia. So I don't understand. You can fit Golden Tate for a new Eagles helmet, but you can't fit. So he was fitted for two helmets this season. You can't fit a player on the Eagles for two helmets at the start of the year. It's really dumb. It's really bad. And the NFL's missing out on what would be an awesome, awesome branding of the league and of a game that's normally terrible. Thursday Night Football. Make it TNF Throwback Night Football. That even though the game between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts might be boring as all hell, you can see some beautiful jerseys there between the two. You can see the Houston Oilers against the Indianapolis Colts. Even the Colts have an old school logo they can maybe implement in it. Or the Jaguars, you know, could bring back the old Mark Brunell jerseys. There's the helmets. There's so much potential. And I don't think they would want to do it, but maybe the Bengals want to bring back their old orange helmets that without the stripes on it, but just says Bengals going across. Which those are brutal. But I think the NFL is missing out here. Again, they would make so much money, and they love money. We all know this. And I just want to see, Kelly Green jerseys back. I already own a Carson Wentz Kelly Green jersey. It's a knockoff. I bought it from China. Don't criticize me, but I really think it's a cool idea. And those jerseys are just so sharp. Again, in 2010, just you know, you go on Google Images now and you look at pictures of McCoy and Macklin and Deshaun and Vic and those jerseys, and it's like, oh, they're just incredible. It's a great logo. It's a great color. And if you could alternate between those and midnight green during a season, like you wear Kelly green on a couple primetime games, wear it like three times a year, I'm all for that. And I think the NFL should be too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for joining me today. Please subscribe to the show. Leave a review if you would. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating. Follow all our Twitter accounts as well. On Twitter, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and my co-host Gino, at Gino_LOE. Got some written content up as well on LockedOnEagles.com. I wrote about Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. Who would you choose if the Eagles want to land a big fish? I made my decision, and I proved to you why I think it's the right call. That's over at LockedOnEagles.com as well. So for myself, Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been Locked On Eagles. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.